I'm approaching the next 2 months as a legislator-elect.
Haynes and Cluckwan have a new state representative, and the Haynesboro tests out wood pellet heating. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Those stories and more up next. Jonathan Christ Tompkins appears to have won a seat in the Alaska House of Representatives. The Sitka Democrat remained ahead of Haynes Republican incumbent Representative Bill Thomas after the final absentee ballots were counted Wednesday. Christ Tompkins has 4,123 votes and Thomas has 4,091. That puts Christ Tompkins ahead by 32 votes, or 0.38%. Christ Tompkins spoke to KCAW's Ed Ronco in Sitka.
It's like I've just been hired for a job, essentially, by 17,000 people. And it's like the acceptance letter has been strung out one sentence at a time, or the offer has been strung out one sentence at a time. So it's been a series of false summits and anti-climaxes and climaxes within the anti-climaxes and a lot of sort of emotional, I don't know. There is no sort of moment. And this isn't even the moment.
The election is within the margin for the state to pay for a recount. Division of Elections Director Gail Fanumiai says Thomas has 5 days to request one after the race is certified, which is expected to happen on Friday. Performing the recount would take about a day. Thomas said he will consider asking for a recount, but won't be making a quick decision on that point.
I'm not going to say because I want the suspense to lay there.
And even though the two candidates are only 32 votes apart, Christ Tompkins says he feels confident in his margin.
At this point, I'm looking to hire staff. I'm looking to move into an office in Juneau. I'm starting to learn the nitty-gritty procedure of the legislature. I'm approaching the next 2 months as a legislator-elect.
Thomas was reached by phone Wednesday at 33 Mile Roadhouse. He didn't seem surprised by the final vote count, but he did not hesitate to make his feelings about the election known.
The district just, you know, committed Harry Carey. You know, they just didn't realize what they had as far as seniority and leadership position.
Thomas was co-chair of the House Finance Committee, a fact he emphasized during the campaign. With the race too close to call in the days immediately after the election, House Republicans chose a new chairman but offered to save him a seat. After Wednesday's final tally, Thomas said he was disappointed in the tone of the campaign.
Very negative. This is the most negative campaign I've ever run into.
Christ Tompkins went on the offensive early in the campaign, attacking Thomas's votes in favor of tax incentives for oil companies. Thomas said he voted on the measure to advance it toward a compromise, not because it had his outright support. Thomas also says while he's sad to see Southeast communities lose Native representation, it's apparently something the Native community chose by not reelecting him or Senator Albert Kukesh. Thomas carried the vote in several villages like Cluckwan and Kasan, but lost the majority of the votes in others like Angoon.
But that the villages wanted that, and I think that should be, you know, people should point that out. You know, the Native community didn't want Native legislators, and they had a chance to keep one in and didn't vote for me. See, look at the village counts. Angoon, and he had 65 votes there that could have, that, you know. But, so it's apparent to me that they didn't want a Native legislator and they wanted a change, and so I'm not going to sit there and snivel over it. I'm a working man, and I'll continue to work. I mean, it's pretty simple.
Thomas says he'll look to do some lobbying for the commercial fishing industry, but doesn't plan to run for the legislature again.
This is it. Why should I run again? I think the district wanted a change. They got it, and I'm not going to run back. I've lost all my positioning for finance, the co-chair, or the speaker. You know, they wanted, I'm not going to do it again.
The newly redrawn District 34 now includes the candidates' hometowns of Sitka and Haynes, as well as Metlakatla, Craig, Hoonah, Angoon, Cake, Cluckwan, Port Alexander, Pelican, Elfin Cove, Klawak, Kasan, and Heidelberg. Thanks to Ed Ronco in Sitka for help with this report. A Haynes man was jailed this week on 9 felony charges of possessing child pornography. Haines police were notified on Monday by a local organization that they suspected someone had been viewing pornography on one of its computers. The man is not an employee, but was authorized to use the computer at the organization. According to court documents, Haines police investigated and discovered 11 sexually explicit photos of children on the computer. The children were estimated to be between the ages of 3 and 12. The 39-year-old man was located and arrested at a Haines residence. Haines Police Chief Gary Lowe said he believes the children in the photos are not from the local area. The man remains in jail on $5,000 bail. There is a preliminary hearing scheduled for the end of November, although the district attorney may choose to take the charges to the grand jury in Juneau in lieu of that hearing. You may have seen the new silo near the Haines Senior Center. That silo is filled with wood pellets, now used to heat the senior center. The building's new wood fire pellet boiler went online on November 15th, the first borough-owned building to rely on wood heat. And the borough is hoping it's just the start of encouraging more wood heat systems in the area. The borough recently submitted a renewable energy grant request for about $500,000 from the Alaska Energy Authority to install wood pellet boilers in several borough buildings, including the school, swimming pool, and borough offices. The outcome of that request won't be known until summer. But the wood pellet boiler in the senior center is the borough's case study, as borough executive assistant Darcy Kolbeck puts it. He claims pellet heating will save the borough $127,000 over the lifetime of the boiler in the senior center. But he will be carefully tracking the costs and cost savings over the next year to see if his estimates accurately play out.
You know, we'll have some sense of it a year from now to say this was really smart or this was break even or it was stupid.
Kolbeck says the senior center had about $65,000 in funds from the state legislature to do several heating and weatherization upgrades of the center. The borough offered up another $30,000 to specifically help with the purchase and installation of a wood pellet heating system. Kolbeck says all the research the borough has done suggests there will be a sizable cost savings for heating with wood pellets over heating fuel.
I'm doing this for money. It's about saving money for the senior center so that they can do the services they provide. Because they pay for this. They pay for the fuel. So if we can knock off even a few thousand dollars a year off their fuel bill, that's significant to them.
There was one study commissioned by the borough that suggests wood pellet heat wasn't economically feasible for the borough because of the efficiencies of making and transporting pellets. That study, by energy consultant Jim Rehfeldt, said maintaining costs associated with some pellet boilers is higher than oil boilers. But the borough and several other agencies, such as the Coast Guard and Forest Service, dispute some of Rehfeldt's math. Kolbeck said also some of the findings don't pertain to the borough because they asked Rehfeldt to study redundant systems, an option that would have a wood pellet system working with a backup of an oil boiler. It also means higher capital and maintenance costs. But Kolbeck said the borough has ruled out using redundant systems.
So in all of his calculations, your capital costs are giant. And when he's comparing it to just an oil system, it doesn't pencil out because it's kind of, in my mind, apples to oranges a little bit.
Rehfeldt, in the presentation of his study several months ago, said also that it's possible the cost of wood pellets will stabilize or even decrease if they become more popular in the region and transportation becomes more efficient. The borough is purchasing pellets through the Sea Alaska Corporation in Juneau. It acts as a distributor for the pellets from Seattle. But Kolbeck said the corporation is studying how to streamline its shipping costs from either the West Coast or Prince Rupert.
So they think, even though they're charging me $360 right now, that their forecast is that they should be able to do better on that price as time comes along, as they just work out the efficiencies.
Chilkoot Indian Association was also recently researching the possibility of producing wood pellets in Haines with Canadian First Nations partnerships. That idea recently hit a road bump when a study showed it would only be economically feasible to produce pellets part of the year, while Haines runs on hydropower in the summer. And the Alaska Energy Authority told the association it doesn't help with grants for pellet producers, only pellet users. But Scott Hansen with the CIA said the organization is still researching the idea and other funding options. For now, the Senior Center will act as the most public wood pellet boiler experiment in the borough. Kolbeck says he's confident he's penciled out all the costs to show a savings. The high school power systems engineering class is also studying the boiler's efficiency, And Kulbeck also sees several possible auxiliary benefits to the boiler case study, including better environmental practices over using oil. Kulbeck says there have been some questions about the effort, not so much about the system itself, but questions about if a wood chip boiler would have been better, or if the pellet industry is strong enough to keep the fuel source going. But Kulbeck notes that while wood pellet heating systems seem like a new or emerging idea to some, it's actually been around for decades in Europe. Several homes in Haines, including those in the Chilkoot subdivision, are heated by pellet systems. And organizations and federal government agencies like the Coast Guard and Forest Service have pushed the wood pellet or chip heating systems as affordable, efficient, and sustainable.
What I've learned is that even though this seems new to us, it's actually quite common in the world. The boiler that we bought, there's 40,000 of those boilers active worldwide.
For KHNS News, this is Margaret Friedenauer. We'll be back on Monday evening. Until then, we hope everyone in the Upper Lynn Canal has a wonderful holiday weekend. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.